Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome, welcome. Episode 72 of the Go Get That podcast. Excited to be here. Genesis week. Obviously, we are coming off a pretty good week as Spieth fans. I think as golf fans, last week at Phoenix was really fun in general. But we've got another good one this week, obviously. The big storyline is that Justin Thomas plays golf this week. of course, Tiger Woods is back this week. We'll be talking about that a little bit, I'm sure. But boys are all here, Bob, Jordan. Excited to talk about this week. Riviera is always fun.
Yeah, I want to start off by saying it was a long few days because I got my first real hate in the YouTube comments that I really took to heart. And I decided that we need to flip the hat around this week. I feel like at the very least, we need to completely change it up because apparently I make the show hard to listen to, which is fine. We're going to try and improve on that. I'm going to take that as constructive criticism, and we're going to try and be the golf genius that Mr. Damesworth thinks I am. So thank you very much to him for the defense, but we're ready. It's a big week. It's one of the biggest weeks on the PGA Tour. Jordan Spieth's favorite course in the world, not stats wise, but that's what he says in terms of playing on the not in the world, on the PGA Tour schedule. I don't know what his favorite course in the world is, but definitely a lot to talk about. I know we had some heated debate in the last one, and I think that's sort of it. We'll be interested to see how we feel after this week. You know, this will be a week that really challenges him. It will challenge all of the players. This is one of the very few weeks where you can't really bullshit your way around this golf course. You can't get through this tournament just by purely having course history. You can't get to this tournament just by having form, just by having the putter. You have to have a mix of absolutely everything to get around this golf course. And I was listening to Andy Lack's podcast the other day, and he was talking about how, like, when you're making your bets, and this is just in general, this isn't in terms of betting, but a lot of people are going to get trapped this week on betting people who have great course history when the people who have good course history and have no form coming in are not going to play well. It's just how it is. So this is going to be a week for really good ball strikers. I mean, players I'm looking at that are going to compete this week, Scott, Keegan Bradley, I think is going to play well this week. And then you have Jordan Spieth, who's coming off a second in shots gained approach last week. So who knows? Maybe we're in for a fun week. We have had plenty of fun moments at Riviera. This is not a course he plays typically well, but he's had plenty of 5, 6, 7 unders to start. He's been first round leader here a few times, I believe, especially during his slump. This was always one of the tournaments he seemed to start really hot. So I'm interested to see what we get. I don't have any expectations, but we'll see.
I think you began the podcast with something that I didn't really want to touch on, but like just you kind of opened Pandora's box here. If you guys have I know we have the majority of our listeners still listening now because we haven't gotten to our NFL takes, but if you have constructive criticism, feel free to DM.
Absolutely.
Any three of us, leave a comment on the video. We're trying to get better.
Absolutely.
We are far, far from professionals at this. 72 episodes in, but still a lot of growth to do. And if there's something that you think we could be doing better, feel free to let us know. And back to golf. Jordan Spieth, Riviera, you know, he loves this place. I think you mentioned it, you know, he's had a couple first round leaders here, especially in the slump. I think you can probably attribute that to him just loving the golf course. I think when he comes to a place, I love this place, you know, it probably gets some good vibes going. I'm going to play well here. I like playing here. Whereas TPC Sawgrass, I hate it here. I can't read the greens. Like, that's how Jordan Spieth is. He's a really high mental game in terms of like, I can go into Augusta, Riviera, you know, shoot some good scores and then go to Sawgrass and play poorly. But yeah, I think this 2-week stretch we get from Waste Management to Genesis is one of the better 2-week you know, in a row stretches we get all year. We got the TV ratings for Phoenix today. We're recording this Tuesday night at Genesis Weekend. This past week at Phoenix Open was CBS best numbers since Jordan Spieth won the RBC Heritage. He is the needle, obviously. But that's great for golf. And then you get Tiger this week at Riviera. Yeah. You know, if Tiger makes the weekend, I mean, CBS might get better numbers this week than they got last week. And they haven't got numbers as good as they got last week since.
I would say they will 100% get better numbers if Tiger.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, the thing about that, though, is that he has to be within their window. Right, like he can't finish before CBS comes on the air. If that's the case, CBS might move some things around, but yeah. We'll see. Tee times are out. Good group for. I mean, there's a massive group out there. Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama. Everybody's gonna be following that group. So if you're out at Genesis. Probably a good chance to go see some other guys. No, but Rory, JT, Tiger, right off before
I will not Spieth, be Scheffler. That group.
Right off before Spieth, Scheffler, and I'm blanking on the last name. The last
Morikawa.
Morikawa. Oh, of course. What a group that is, by the way. But so some excellent groups there. They're late early. I think it's like 3:04 for the Thomas Rory. Tiger group on Thursday afternoon Eastern. So then Spieth's off 3:15 or so. So big group, feature group for obviously marquee group for Tiger. It's feature group for Spieth. But as I mentioned, they typically in those featured group coverage, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but they have two groups, but they definitely show one more than the other, right? Like it's almost sometimes it can be, I'd imagine it'd be a little frustrating being a fan of like a Sam Burns who may get the short end of the stick in featured group coverage sometimes.
Are they sort of going away from marquee groups? Because I know they had it last week. Then they sort of didn't after the delays sort of changed things around. So I don't know what that's gonna look like. I'm hoping there will be no Tiger Woods in the featured group coverage and all of his own stream, like with that group. That would be best case scenario because there's no doubt that Morikawa, Scheffler, and Spieth is probably the second best pairing to watch in the first two
in the week. Yeah. So the way they've been doing it since they've come back from Hawaii is there's a marquee group in the morning, and then there's feature group coverage of two groups also in the morning. And then the afternoon, they just have two separate streams with two groups typically. So
they have it up already too.
There's a good chance that it'll be Tiger's group. They will get a stream whenever Tiger plays. And then my guess is the Spieth group is going to get the Spieth, Scheffler, Morikawa is going to get that over Lowry, Matsuyama, Justin. Okay. So for the afternoon, that'll be it. And then in the morning on Friday, that stream will be shared with Matsuyama, Lowry, and Justin Rose. Which, by the way, like I don't mind any of those guys, but Ricky Fowler's not featured. I think there's some other guys.
Getting closer there, I think.
I know Cam Young hasn't.
Well,
been
we were in that boat last year, Arabia, or but... 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's.
There was a time where Spieth was like, we were questioning whether he was going to be featured. Like he's been featured almost for a year and a half straight now.
Yeah. Phoenix 2021, actually he wasn't featured. Round one. They switched it and people got mad.
Yes.
Because he was playing with Horschel and him, I think both entered the weekend about the same number. So they switched it over and watched some good golf being played instead of Hideki and
it was Hideki and someone else, but
somebody else, they were just like plus three through.
Yeah, I want to say that for a few things about Tiger and coverage this week, first thing that comes to mind is very shocking he's late early.
Yes.
It's something I was shocked to see, especially with the cooler temperatures. Definitely not something I expected. Two, TV coverage is going to be brutal for like other fans the first 2 days, which is
Thursday specifically,
but which is fine.
I'm going to complain about that. Tiger Woods has more than earned his spot getting the coverage. I don't care if I don't care who's leading on the Thursday. Tiger Woods should be getting the coverage over them.
It's just how it is.
I feel for her, like, Ricky fans, though. Like, this is the week, if you're a Ricky fan, like, you're screwed because you're not featured, and then there's Tiger on TV who's going to hog, like...
Yeah, that but then again, that changes on the weekend. If Tiger... I know some people do, and the views will bring it, but at the end of the day, they need to come up with an alternative to put
Tiger on, give Tiger some stream or something, because I don't want to see Tiger play his last nine holes when the tournament is in full flight. That's just what I'm saying. Now, Tiger Woods will not make the cut this week, foreshadowing to the bets. But still, I still believe that the first 2 days, you will not see a complaint from me about Tiger Woods getting all the TV coverage. He's more than earned it. It's fine by me.
Agreed. The Bob seal of approval. That's all we need.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually one to complain about the coverage.
Yeah.
Especially with Tiger. But there's a difference between on the weekend when Spieth has a chance to win and all the showings Tiger versus on a Thursday. Like, right. I will not be watching the TV coverage because Tiger's going to get all the coverage, and that's fine. I'll be watching the feature group stream, and that's how it is.
Yeah. Which is all right. I think too, with his Tiger's first tour event since the Zozo.
Yeah.
That's a non-major. Like, this is a big deal. So, I presume I'll be tuned into the coverage a little bit. Kind of depends on my schedule, I think. But, on Thursday afternoon, but it's just cool that he's back, you know, and I don't know where his game is at, but he continuously says that he wants to win when he comes here to win. So I'd imagine he feels pretty decent. He still hasn't walked 72 holes, which doesn't bode well for the Tiger Woods to make the cut betters or just Tiger Woods relevant, like, in the golf tournament on Sunday in terms of the score, but we shall see.
Let it be known that for Tiger Woods make or miss cut bettors, a withdraw is a miscut. A withdraw, and
even if he makes the cut,
actually, if he makes the cut, I think miscut loses, made cut pushes. Actually, I think that's how it works.
I think that's
but right. If he withdraws on Thursday afternoon, then that's miscut cashes. Yeah. So
just I doubt. You know. I don't see a
miscut. I don't either. But
the only way I would see it is if he's like kind of like Southern Hills, like he makes the cut on the number and he's like the first group out Saturday morning and it's freezing and he's like, I don't want to do this. But like I don't envision that. I think Dan kind of said it well in Tiger Talk today. Like, Tiger doesn't come to events unless he thinks he can compete. I get it's his, you know, he's the tournament host. Like, he doesn't have to play Riviera. I mean, it's his first tour event in what, 2.5 years? Like, he doesn't need to play this event. He's exempt into every major, but he chose to play Riviera. If you're a Tiger miscut better, I don't really know what to expect from Tiger this week. I don't think anyone does. It's probably a stupid thing of me to say. I don't know what to expect. Why should I know what to expect out of Tiger? But I'll say it again. He's here, and if he's here, he thinks he can compete.
I would agree with that. Yeah, and just another thing, like, obviously I've already foreshadowed that I'm betting Tiger miscut in some way on the Go Get That competition, but at the same time, it definitely concerns me a little, and if this was Augusta, I don't think I'd be betting this. I think part of the thing that plays into the bet is the fact that his course history here isn't the greatest. He's never won here, so that helps my case. Even when he's not hurt in like 2018, a made cut's still not a guarantee.
Yeah.
So that helps the case. But then again, it's Tiger Woods. Like, right. Tiger Woods, I've made it very clear that I think Jack Nicklaus is the GOAT, but Tiger Woods is the greatest player of our generation, and many people have gotten their ass kicked by betting against players of that stature in any sport. So that might be what happens to me this week.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Is that a little T. Brady reference there?
Just in general. I mean,
okay.
They just like the greats tend to do, like even Messi this year winning the World Cup. Like, that's just something, like, sometimes the greats just do, like, that's just part of the script of sports, you know, like that things, magical things just like happen. So,
yeah, like Ronaldo scoring 4 goals for Al Nassr.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Another hat trick for him. Anyway,
right. Super hat trick. Don't short him one.
Yeah. Do you have super hat trick? Do you have, does Mr. Models have some important stats?
Absolutely. I was just about to get to that. So there's two things I want to bring up today. So the stat to look for in the models, the stat that is a stat that has over 5% in the models this week that is not used in any other tour event. That's one that I want to bring up. And then the most important stat of the week, which I was going to. So does anyone have a guess into what is the stat that is in effect this week that is not of, that was not in the top 5% or more in models in any other tournament this year?
The models, like, specifically like this stat.
It's a scoring stat. It's not a shots gain stat.
I have no clue then.
I'm gonna say bogey avoidance.
So it's bogey avoidance in tough conditions, which is a really specific stat. But that brings in the players that spits out really good names are people like Tommy Fleetwood, Shane Lowry, a lot of Europeans, a lot of people like Colin Morikawa, a lot of people that just hit the ball with very little dispersion as they're hitting into greens. So that was a stat that really, really caught my eye. I haven't seen that in any of the models I've looked at this year.
It's like an anti-Spieth stat.
I would say bogey avoidance is not, even though Spieth is winning this week, obviously, it's not one of them if you think that. But most important stat this week is, it's very simple. It's from fairway to around the green. There's no chipping and approaches together are what makes up the chunk of these models. Putting and driving, not so much.
Yeah.
The reason why is because, like Wingfoot, which is the course that always comes up to this, is these fairways are so hard to hit that not many people are going to be hitting 10 fairways in a round. So fairway accuracy is not that important, even though the rough is tough, because everyone's going to be missing fairways. What I would say is a huge thing is, and my computer is about to die. So can someone take over while I fix
it? Yeah, the important number, I think, I don't know if you've seen this either, Jordan, is like 150 to 175. Is a critical range for approach shots. You get, I think it was like Data Golf maybe was saying this. It's like 3 to 4 more approach shots from that range than any other golf course. So I don't know if you have the numbers on that for where Spieth stands, but to me, sorry, I put you on the spot there.
I was looking.
Okay. But for me, that screams guys like Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, your classic, like, I'm gonna hit this 8-7, maybe even 6-iron to 5-10 feet with pretty solid regularity.
Yeah, I was looking at 150 to 200, 175 to 200 quite a bit when I made my choices. Thankfully, our friends at Data Golf have got their approach skill time frame since January 1st, 2023. So about 6 weeks ago, worth of stats. So you get a lot of recency in there. They just updated that yesterday. Nice. So you can now see a real, like, okay, what have they done the last 6 weeks type of thing instead of last 12 months, which is a much wider time frame. And Jordan, from 150 to 200 yards since January 1st, has been pretty good. He's in strokes gained per shot, he's 84th percentile. So, I mean, that's the best of the distances where he's been. We actually been talking about the long irons being better. He's horrible from over 200. still, according to DataGolf, which is kind of interesting. I feel like he's been better, but thankfully Riv isn't really an over 200 course anyway. It's a 150 to 200, and that's where Jordan's.
And most of the par fives are either very reachable or not really that reachable at all.
Yeah.
Does it list the guys that are the best?
Yeah.
So who's like the top five?
All right. So let's get rid of Van Royen because he's not got a big sample size. So Brendan Steele's one. I was looking at Brendan Steele. He actually withdrew today.
Oh.
So that's interesting. So then Max Homa, Xander, Bryce Garrett, Garnett, not a big enough sample size. Troy Merritt, Stuart Sink. So there's a wide range of guys. And let me be very clear here. This last 6 weeks is kind of a small time frame. It's not as big as 12 months, obviously, but it's kind of small from 6 weeks. So that's why you're getting some of these names. But I mean, you get the Homos, the Xanders. Yeah, my man Alex Smalley's out there as
that
well.
That name playing well. That stat is going to become way more useful as we get into the chunk of the season.
Yeah.
So apologies for the computer, obviously. Let me just give a thank you to DataGolf for the garbage time edition.
Yes, I saw that.
That's a great stat.
Who there was somebody leading it that was
Martin Trainer. Yeah, spends like 18% of his time on tour with a 0% chance to make the cut.
I feel like I see his name like when I scroll through the
it's either missing the cut or he's on the first page. It makes
right 100%. I feel like I see him play a lot and then I don't see him on the leaderboard half the time, and it's because he's all the way at the bottom, right? Yeah. And it's
so let me get back to what I was again. My computer, I'm having a whole bunch of computer issues. My computer broke, but this is a new computer, so I don't know what the battery's like. But what I was gonna say is this week, I would definitely say that hitting it far is more important than hitting it straight. This is kind of a bomb and gauge kind of course. Yeah. It's not. That's why people like Cam Young play well here, because not everyone's going to be hitting fairways. Hovland is one of my favorite picks this week. So short hitters definitely can get around here. I mean, as you'll see by one of my picks, a very short hitter, but yeah, it's, you can sort of approach it just like Bryson did at Wingfoot. So we'll see how that kind of plays into
it. Yeah. One point to that, it's not as you can definitely bomb it. I think it's narrow, but you don't, like you said, you can get away with some misses because
well,
the
it's
rough is
everyone's going to be missing.
Right, but also like
too
the
small and too firm to be able to be hitting fairways consistently.
Yeah, but also like the rough isn't you're not hacking at it.
Yeah,
like
it's
still
very,
very playable out of the rough. So even if you are a little bit shorter, you can very still true. Play it. And that's why guys like Morikawa, with his dispersion of a 6-iron being the same as like another tour average of like an 8-iron or something, just plays well here because he just flushes it with, you know, longer irons and makes up for his average, maybe slightly above average distance, but certainly nothing to write home about. Any other thoughts on the course? The weather, I mean,
the weather looks good. I was talking to Bob before you hopped on here, Dan. For the first event since Hawaii for Jordan, there's not going to be a draw advantage, it looks like, which is nice. So we'll get like everyone to play in the same conditions. And two, we're not going to have a delay of, you know, any sort. We're going to have it golf played when golf should be played, which is nice. So just talk about the fairways. The fairway width is 27 yards at Riviera. So like that is tiny.
Yeah.
The rough's at 2 inches. When we get down to, you know, Bay Hill in a few weeks, it's going to be 4, 4.5. So that just gives you kind of a sense of the rough is not much here. It's, the favorite broadcasters were it's Kikuyu grass. So I'm sure we'll hear that quite a few times this week from the broadcast. So I think it's that like sticky type of grass.
Your
lies in it. But I mean, it's only 2 inches. So if you're hitting out of it from like the fairway, you shouldn't have much problem advancing in a good ways.
Right. Yeah. And you'll just have to play for some jumpers or dead stuff out of the rough. It won't be anything these guys haven't seen before. It does look like it'll be somewhat chilly. Like low 60s isn't you know, terribly warm
morning,
for California, and it's going to be quite cold in the mornings. I'd put some money on seeing Beanie Spieth on Friday morning, which is chills. And who knows, maybe, I mean, Beanie Tiger would be lit. I don't know if Tiger's ever worn a beanie, but you could see Woods in a hat, which would be cool.
The like Thursday morning, guys, hat. I mean, I see the minimum temperature of 39. Wait, so if it's 39.
Frost delay, maybe?
Oh, my God. I was about to say that. Do they get frost in L.A.? Oh, yes, they do, because it says frost possible on the forecast I pulled up. So, great. We might have a delay on Thursday morning. Thanks.
Yeah, but it's almost always cold at the Genesis, I feel like. And I don't really remember many frost delays that were more than like an hour.
All right. I hope it's anything more than an hour.
Well, because usually the sun gets up pretty quick there and it gets stuff off. But, so I guess frost delay. And to be fair, it's a smaller field, so they'll – be able to get everybody in.
I think we need to make players play in frost. I think
that's terrible
for the golf course.
It is terrible for the golf course.
How many people are in the field this week? I know Dan just mentioned the field.
It's like one. I think it's 120.
Yeah. It keeps dropping. There have been like five guys.
Did McNeely withdraw? Or did
McNeely withdrew?
Because I was talking with Ryan talking about golf bets today, and Ryan was like, unfortunately, my play of the week is McNeely to top 40. And we're like, well, Ryan, your play of the week isn't even in the field. I didn't know whether he just wasn't playing or whether he withdrew. So I guess he.
So we're down to 129 guys.
Yeah, because there's no replacement.
129. Yeah, how many were in the field? 134. So it's a little bit tiny.
Okay.
This week.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's because it's like designated now, some other guys might get spots that weren't there before. I feel like it was 120, but still 129 is a lot smaller than the 150 that it was last week. So
I know Bob was about to say no replacements. They actually do replacements if it goes under 120.
Okay, so
we only need 9 more
really?
Now on Thursday morning.
Yeah, so that's a better number. And if the frost delay is like an hour, they should be able to get everybody in. But hopefully there's no frost and we don't have to worry about these things. I think the first tee time is
it's
like 7:15 or something like that.
Correct.
So we'll see. Well, you know, you guys will be updated about
are
it
we,
for sure on Twitter and things like that. But
are we ready?
Fingers crossed.
Our bets?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want. Do you want me to start? I'll start.
I'll start.
Mr.
Sure.
Leader.
So I got very, 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 very close to picking Jordan Spieth this week.
We should go over outrights first.
I had him. I was debating first round leader, as you said. He's done that a couple of times.
I don't think that at all.
I don't love the afternoon tee time though for the first round leader.
That's very true.
So that got crossed off, and then I was very much debating him outright. But I just couldn't do it. I just don't think he's ready to win yet, compared to the guy I picked over him. So I have three outrights. They're all 37-1 or lower. I have top of the board.
God.
What's up?
Never mind. Just continue. I'll go over in a second.
Okay. So I have Xander. Outright. I have Tom Kim.
Love that.
People liked last week. I like him this week. I mean, he's a monster from the
100. I always love Tom Kim. So.
I don't know what your models are saying, but I think the short game is important around here, even with the rough being kind of small.
Absolutely is. Huge short game.
He's got a great short game. He can make putts. Distance, I know, is important. But kind of, I don't know if Dan will be on Morikawa. I kind of got a hunch that he might be. Tom Kim, just like Morikawa, just flushes the crap out of his irons and can make up for being a little bit shorter. So I have Xander, Tom Kim, and then my last one who I picked over Spieth is Sung J.M.
He's on my card. Well, not this card, but he's on my regular card.
So I was picking between Sung J and Spieth. And no offense to Mr. Spieth, but Sung J is much more ready to win than Mr. Spieth is. I mean, Sung J is a monster. I mean, T4 at the Farmers, T6 at Waste Management. He hasn't won since the Shriners in 2021. Am I getting that right? Yeah, because the Shriners was in the fall season.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. He is very much ready to win, and his game is in peak form. Yeah. And he's 26-1. Spieth's 29. Spieth is not worth the little value.
Spieth's 29?
On FanDuel.
Yeah. Well, he was, yeah. He
you
was
can 40. Find him. I found him at different numbers.
He was you're 35.
Well, we're not going with this.
I saw him at 40.
Anyway. Yeah. That's a little more accurate.
So, but Xander, Tom Kim, CJ, outright.
Yeah. I like those picks.
Thank you.
Again, the reason why I moaned and groaned was because I actually picked my first round leaders before the tee times. Sad to say that they both have brutally late starting times.
Tough scene. Tough
but
scene.
I'm sticking with them. But first, let's go to my one outright. It's a very small outright, and I wish I put more. I wish I had more to put on them because this is my pick to win this week. Besides, I wouldn't say he's my favorite player because I do think Adam Scott is the player I think I'm most confident in playing well, but Matt Fitzpatrick's my pick to win this week. He plays big events well, and he plays these tough events well. This is a course that he's always right there at. He's always on the Sunday leaderboard, and he's 40-1. I couldn't pass that up. He's a little undervalued, I feel like, this week, given his course history and the way he plays just these types of events. So I have five on it. I have four $5 bets and then one $80 nuke, but it's not a guaranteed winner, so be careful. But yeah, Matt.
Nice. I was just going to say, though, with the first round leaders, I know you'll get into them, who they are in a second, or as we go around again, but the afternoon might be the better spot. Like, if it's so cold for the first nine holes, then maybe the guys in the afternoon go a little bit lower, and like, we'll see if the wind
possibly the greens are just always much more receptive in the morning.
And good point.
You would underestimate how much harder it is to putt on greens that have been stepped on for 10 hours at that level, because they're so precise. Those players at that level, a player talks to me about how, like, a professional once talked to me, he's not a PJ pro, but I once talked to him, he said that like a 69 in the morning when I'm playing is like can be a 72 73 in the afternoon. So yeah. That's why the morning's always got an advantage. But you're right, it definitely might be a little closer this week with the temperatures, so hopefully that'd be nice.
Yeah, so I'll give you a little optimism there. I
thank you, Dan.
Originally had two outrights, and then I convinced myself to go with three. They're not a lot of money on points on either of them. I've been drumming the Morikawa, banging the Morikawa drum forever.
He's one of my favorite picks of the week.
He should have won the Century, and then he played really well at Farmers. He's just playing well. He's just playing really, really good golf. T2 here last year, 22-1, so I've got 10 on him to win. And then I'm going with Justin Thomas.
Ooh.
And I know this is an Andy Lack play, I believe. The numbers, the strokes gained approach numbers went up every day last week at Phoenix. Mr. Thomas, as you mentioned, Jordan, last week has not won in quite a while. And we'll be looking to get back on the winning train there. And then I had the sprinkle, Jordan Spieth.
Yay!
40-1. Just put five on it. But I think Joe I maybe on Twitter just had a little segment about why it's Spieth's time.
That was a great segment.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it touches on just like
every, yeah.
Spieth does not have, and we talked about this, you know, in the preview last week, it's like he doesn't really have a blueprint. Like, he has a blueprint for winning, but it's different than every other guy's blueprint. And he doesn't really slow build into his wins. Like, he just kind of pops with his irons. And then he's got some sort of course history, course form. Obviously, he's started well here before. The weekends have not gone as well here. That's my only concern. I was thinking about the first round leader or even first round top five.
That's a good bet. But always great bets.
I decided to just scrap it, say, all right, five on him to get a win, because who knows, maybe this is the week for him.
I don't hate it.
We'd all like it to be the week for him, but I think it's possible. I really think it is this week. I don't think, like you said, Jordan, it doesn't seem like he's ready to win. Like, I think the iron play is ready to win. I'd say the driver is probably good enough. Short game, same thing. The putter, Mr. Putter is not in the building quite yet for winning, but shoot, you never know, right? So could just be that week. And I didn't want to miss
I think, you know what? I think the putts are going to fall this week. You know,
they could.
It's been 5 years. Like, let's bring it on. bring on the putts.
Yeah.
He putts, I mean, decently well at Riviera.
Me for just 1 week. Just putt after putt after putt. I think
I told you, dude. I don't know if you want to waste that week yet.
I mean, I don't know. But when you get out optimism for me, I think don't take that lightly. This is the week the putts are going
to
fall.
Yeah. I mean, it could. I mean, Dan's picking him. I was close to picking him.
Yeah.
I asked myself, do I think he's ready to win yet? And I don't think so. But you know, Joe I on Twitter said, as you're saying, Dan, like did we think he'd win at RBC Heritage? No.
No.
Maybe it is his time to win. Yeah. I don't know if the player's gonna be able to help.
Yeah. No, he just follows weird trends. Like, he's got his very individualistic winning trends.
Speethy trends.
Yeah, they're very weird, dude. It's so speethy. It's just like, that's the only way to describe it. He wins in the most speethian fashion, right? And it's just like, he pops with the irons and then he wins. That's kind of how it works. Like you said, Jordan said it and Joe said it as well, is like, that was his best iron performance since like 2017. Right? Like, yep. I mean, absurdly good with the irons. And when he's hot, he stays hot. So in theory, this should be a good trend. We'll see if Mr. Putter cooperates. Who knows? Maybe I'm, you know, work my way back into contention on the leaderboard.
Good to see.
He didn't, just to add, like, that was this waste management was his best approach week since 2017. He didn't win that week in 2017 either. Which is kind of sad. It was the 2017 Sony.
Ah.
He okay. Lost strokes around the greens and didn't make much. Nice.
Thanks. Nice. All right, Jordan, what are your other one or two?
Two placements. I have two placements. My big money play of the week is the guy that you're on, Bob. Adam Scott. I have no clue how he is plus money to top 40.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't get it. I mean, there's one thing that concerns me about Adam Scott, and it's one kind of big thing, but I mean, Riviera, he has played here, 15 times, and he's top 40, 12 of 15. So, like, I mean, that's just incredible. He barely plays, which is like kind of worrying. Like, he hasn't played since Sony, but he T21 there.
Yeah, he
played horrible at Century, though.
Congrats to Mr. Scott on the chairman election win.
That's Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah. So congrats to him.
No, so the one thing, now that I think about it, the stat on Scott that was concerning me is he's not been good since February 1st from 150 to 200 yards, but he's barely played.
Yeah, he's only played two
like, there's like no
he's only played one event off. Since February 1st.
Yeah, there's like nothing to get. I mean, hit 41 shots from 150 to 200, which is a low data player according to Data Golf. So he hasn't hit that many. I'm basically just going off the course history, and he still finished T21 at Sony. So I got 60 on my right. Yeah, 60 plus 105, 60 to pay out 123.
Whoa. Going with the Bob strategy, putting a lot on
that's one. What I've been doing for the most
part. I like
part.
That. I like that. That's how you profit.
I love my value play, though.
Now right? I don't know who to – now. Now I need to root for a Scott travesty on the weekend.
we had something like this a couple weeks ago where you needed.
I needed Flower to make the cut, but not top 40.
Yeah, and that's what happened. So. And I lost out. But my value bet of the week is a top 10 on a guy that you guys may or may not have even heard of. I actually probably think you guys are golf nerds. So
Taylor, Moore. I have two guesses. Oh, wait, what was it? Who was it?
Who are your guesses?
My guesses were Lee Hodges or Justin Lauer, because those are two long shots that are getting a lot of talk from a lot of models and spots all over.
So Twitter. They aren't those guys. Dan, yeah. Did you hear what I said?
I did.
All right, so Taylor Moore.
Yeah, I've heard of him, but
is my top 10 play of the week. He's 11-1, and it's incredible how like good that is. His last three performances: T14 last week, T15 at Pebble Beach, T11 at Farmers, and he had a T21 last year at this event. And he's 11-1 to top 10.
I like that.
Like, that form is incredible, and it's all been ball striking, which makes me smile. I mean, he's been really good ball striking the last 3 weeks.
There was a player like that was a long shot that was in like deep contention one of the last few years here, and just like fell off in the last few holes. Who was that? I forget. I think it was the year that Finau and Homa went down the stretch, but it was I forget who it was.
I remember. I don't know. I don't know if this was it, but Kuchar in like 2020 was near the top of the leaderboard, and I know he wasn't playing his best stuff then, but I don't know. We'll see.
I'm fine if he falls off, as long as he's top 10s for me.
Yeah.
So I put 10 on him to pay out 120 at 11-1, which is for a guy that's in that form. And, you know, he played well here last year. I mean, I will gladly take 11-1 odds on a top 10.
Yeah. I mean, trying to look at who it was. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was. Could it have been Gooch?
Yeah. Could be Gooch. Gooch, I feel like
Gooch was a no name 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, sort of.
No name now? Oh, sorry.
It might have been Taylor Gooch, actually. Now that you mention that, that would make sense. But
yeah, I think it was. I'm looking.
I know you've got a long, the year long. Before.
Wow, Taylor Gooch would have been a play this week if he was playing. Oh, I know. I think I know who it was. It was Scott Brown.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Kisner's
name I haven't heard in a while.
Kisner's Zurich partner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Yes. You want to know who also I haven't heard of in a while? And this is, I digress, but it's Sung Kang.
Sung Kang.
Yeah. I haven't heard
of him. Still have a card.
Didn't he win the Byron Nelson?
It's like a low stats card.
Yeah.
But yeah,
didn't Sung Kang win the Byron Nelson at
yes.
Trinity Forest?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was the year he put it through the bunker, remember?
I mean, Sung Kang might have been a play this week, Bob. He's got good course history.
He does.
Riviera.
Unfortunately, Mr. Kang may be live-bound. So we are on to my picks, and I have two FRLs, and that is, of course, over and over and over, Cage Lee, 5-2, payout 455 at 90-1. And then Cam Young, not for much. He's like 33-1, I think. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is to pay out 230. And then my big placement of the week is Ches Reavy. And he has no form coming in, but I only had five points left. So I decided to go with a big value placement. And Ches Reavy is one of the only players in the last 5 years to have multiple top 10. So 5-win payout 170 at 33-1. I'm like, all right, I'll give that a shot. So I like those plays. And of course, my big play of the week, it's a parlay. First parlay we've done on this podcast. And it's an even money, 80-win 160. And that is Scott to make the cut and Woods to miss the cut. So I'm very confident in the Scott make the cut. This is basically just a wager on Woods to miss the cut.
If Scott misses the cut, both me and Bob are struggling this week,
to say the least. Dan can the door opens for Dan if Scott opens with 80.
Yeah, unless I've got.
Oh man!
Oh no! Well.
So this might change a little bit considering you guys went with Adam Scott, but no, I'll start before I get to my placement. I'll start with the Adam Scott bet. I have Adam Scott top rest of the world.
Ooh!
So I know that includes Sungjae Im.
You love those plays.
I did not quite see Mr. Sungjae's scorching form, which is, you know, kind of a hindsight, should have looked up how Mr. M is playing and maybe I'll change this, but as of now, I like Adam Scott. Obviously, course history, all that. He played pretty well at the Sony. And I don't think Jason Day is that much of a factor this week. I know he's been playing well, but the course history here is not good. And it's mostly because he doesn't putt well here, even when he was at his peak putting powers. So to me, that means that Jason Day may not have his best stuff this week. I think he'll probably still make the cut and, you know, be around that top 30 number. But I think Adam Scott could do better than that. And then just the rest of the world, like, there's not a ton of big names you have to beat. So, you know, you look at a leaderboard and it's going to be a lot of Americans. So a T6 could win that for Adam Scott.
That's true.
And the other thing, the Kikuyu. Apparently Australians just play really well on Kikuyu. I'm not sure if that's like a native Australian grass. I feel dumb for not knowing, but I think it's just a thing that they play better on Kikuyu. Which is makes it a little weird. Jason Day doesn't have good form here, but Adam Scott does. So 11-1 on the rest of the world, I thought was pretty solid. So I'm putting 10 on that. Twin 120. I had one more thought on that, but I can't quite remember.
I just looked at Day's putting. Like, it's incredible how bad he putts there.
Yeah, he's not good on these greens.
That's unreal. I mean, that's
when he's at his best, like his best stuff. And he's playing some really good golf right now, but I just don't know if this is the spot for him.
I mean, this is worse
no,
than
Jason,
like, Keith Sawgrass.
Jason Day to miss the cut here was a bet I stared at for a long time. It's plus 250, and he is... Ooh. Course history does not get much worse than Jason Day here.
Yeah.
So
it's awful.
And I don't care what his form coming in is. Plus 250 is good value if you're going to take a miscut bet. Probably my miscut favorite bet of the week besides Mr. Woods. So
another thought on this as well is I know he's playing well and I know he's healthy, but he's sort of in that – he's not quite in the – you know, he's not really that close to the Woods. Needs to warm up the body to play really well, but it's cold and Jason Day does have back and I think shoulder as well, right? Like he's had some injuries that have unfortunately you know, taken away some of his superpowers on the golf course for a little while, and they're starting to come back, but unfortunately those things can bite at a certain time. So I think it's a week to be cautious with him, but that was just another reason that I kind of went with the Adam Scott stuff. And then I have to switch strategies a little bit. So I'm going with the just throw a lot of points on one kind of placement play. I thought about Spieth top 20 for a while. Is that like plus 150? Sam Burns top 20. I saw it plus 160. He's got good form here as well. But I ended up going, it's funny that you said you had him top 10, but I ended up going Taylor Moore top 40.
Wow, two on Taylor Moore.
Because I don't know where I saw this, but somebody was like, yeah, this is a Taylor Moore week. Three straight top 20s, and he T21'd here last year. And he putted
right, what's the odds? What are the odds?
And plus 145 for a top 40.
Man.
I mean, like, to me, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm throwing 65 on that. It wins around. It's like slightly under 160. I'll put the precise numbers in the thing. Wow. But I was stunned when you said top 10. But like he's playing well, and like it's ball striking. The around the green is a little concerning, but
you don't. You need around the green to win. You don't need it to top 40 necessarily.
Right.
He played well here last year too, which is what I like to see.
Yep. And when I look at course history as well, I also like to look, I mostly am looking at putting because
that's fair.
To me, that's what translates the most. And he putted well here last year and he's putted well the last couple events. Like I think Taylor Moore is probably he's looking at a T27 this week and I'm going to cash in. I almost went to the Johnny Vegas train. I really, really, really liked him last week. He's hitting the ball great, but course history here for Mr. Vegas is not so lucky, to say the least. So
we're really high on Johnny Vegas on this podcast, I feel like.
He's flushing it.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, he's flushing it.
He's just
and he's got good odds. So,
I don't even know a word to describe Johnny
Vegas. I can't believe both two of us are on Taylor Moore.
Well, I was stunned that you said Taylor Moore.
So let it be known that Taylor Moore and Adam Scott are just the pod's go-to players this week. Just parlay them to top 10 and you're rich, I guess.
Yeah. I'm now concerned that Mr. Adam Scott shoots a 79 on Thursday.
We all lose them. So like,
yeah, it wouldn't really, I mean, unless he shoots like 64.
Though. It might be better for me actually if he did miss cut, so you guys just don't get any of those points, and then Taylor Moore like T12s, you know.
Oh,
like,
that would hurt.
Just
the only reason I have T10 is because I had 10 points left over and I wanted to go with like something super value.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That was kind of my thought on the Scott top rest of world. And then eventually the Spieth, like he just, I don't know, 5 points to win a couple hundred points. I mean, obviously winning is hard, but shoot.
There's such constraints with 100 points that you can't, I mean, you have to go with like one, like, you know, plus 105 and put a ton on that. And then you can play around with like what else you have left.
Well, that's the way you sort of have to approach it, because if you're banking on going like 2-0 on lesser odds and lesser amounts placements, like that's really not a profitable strategy. So,
right.
Yeah.
You kind of just have to hit one. You know,
that's what I did last year, and that's how I kind of ran away with it. So if you guys do the same thing as me this year, it's going to be a much more competitive, like who can pick better players.
Man, it's a lot of talk.
I'm not saying that it was my picks. It was more just my strategy. Like my strategy was more winnable than like I didn't even need to have the best picks.
Yeah.
Whereas this year, it's going to come down to.
And you got to assume that one of us is going to hit an outright this year. I know Jordan had Zalatoris, but like, I mean, dude, if you told me, you know, I've got Spieth, Morikawa, and Thomas to win this week, like I'll feel pretty good that one.
And I got three different guys, like
three there, be there Saturday or Sunday. So
Bob has what? How many outrights?
Bob only has one, I believe.
Yeah. But if we do, let's just say 7 a week, we will hit, and we're all like literally probably 75% of them are like near the top of the board. We will hit one sooner than later.
Oh, for sure.
If we did and 7 outrights a week.
Well, I think that's what we're doing this week right now. Yeah. And they're all different.
Oh, yeah, we will.
I might tweet them out on the account on Twitter. Just like, here's our outright plays for the week. I can do placements and stuff as well, but I do like seeing people's outrights and seeing what they get, like what Elise does where she drops that on her thing and what she gets. But
thanks.
We will all be in the green by the end of the season. I can guarantee
Correct.
That's a Jordan guarantee right there.
Whoa.
Jordan, not as strong guarantee as a blue guarantee.
You think we're all going to be in the green?
That's quite.
Or you think the pod's going to be in the green?
I think all three of us will be in the green. I think
I think the pod will be in the green.
I bet the pod.
I am not willing to say that there aren't one of us that just goes really cold, because that's kind of what happens in betting, right?
Yeah, that's fair. That
it's fair.
Yeah,
but
betting is unbeatable unless you're Elise.
To Jordan's point though, I do think we've all now accepted the best strategy to maximize our winnings, right? And that's just you put more coin on one sort of solid play and then kind of flirt around with some more riskier plays. And if those hit, then you're in a great spot. And if they don't, doesn't matter that much.
But especially, you go, Jordan.
What'll be interesting is when we get to the majors and the players, when we get 200 points, that's when I think the strategy could change a little bit. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Well,
but it'll be interesting to see how we look at that, because I mean the players, we're getting close to the toughest test in golf at Sawgrass.
I was watching golf, you know, Golf Channel last week for the Phoenix, and they were like, here's the schedule. I'm like, we're three tournaments from the players. Genesis, Honda, API. Like, we are
chills.
We
it
are
just means
we're, yeah. We're on the edge of 11 right now. Like, we're We have made the turn, and we are pushing hard towards the edge of 17.
We are into the stretch of 17.
Just a big thank you to the players for their quote that they tweeted out from Jordan today, saying, "If you win here, you can win anywhere." Thanks for Mr. Spieth saying that, and coming close to winning once in 12 tries at Sawgrass.
Yeah, when I think it was 2015, right, when he was just the best golfer on the planet.
Yeah.
Go, Dan.
I was just gonna say thoughts on Ricky Fowler this week.
No comment. I don't know what he's gonna do.
I considered him for some bets, but 50-1 outright's just not enough value to take Ricky.
Yeah,
I don't 50-1.
Yeah,
I don't think he wins. Thanks. I think he'll be. I think it's a good week, but I'm not sure if there's contention this week. It seemed like he hit a lot of. I think he holed out like three times last week. Like that's a lot for one week and finishing whatever he finished. So there's still some flaws there in the game. I don't think his bogey avoidance is very good. Not that Spieth is good either, but
his
Mr. Fowler's
wedges and irons are really coming around.
Yeah,
they are really getting good. He's still a little bit.
It's the driver, right?
The tee with the driver last week.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think Ricky's getting to the point where, like, if he can just get it in play.
It's very Spieth-y.
Yeah, the putter has been good. Yeah, he's getting there, which is good for golf.
Yeah,
that's good for golf.
Very good for
speaking of Spieth-y, I don't know where else you wanted to go, Bob, but last year
I was just gonna say I don't really have the time to stay for any football talk. Unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
There's no football talk. Season's over.
One that is true. One kind of quick thing that I like to check, like the PGA Tour rankings of strokes gained stats on the PGA Tour like website. And last year, right, seeing Spieth like 25th tee to green and 170th in putting was always just a brutal sight. And after this last week, he's positive in the three ball striking categories, including short game, negative in putting. And it's
right back where we're supposed to be.
Here we go again. You know, he's not great tee to green because the approach is like zero, because he could not hit irons in the fall and early in the season here. But it's like 79th tee to green, 125th putting. It's like, oh my God, like we're doing this again. But
yes,
we'll see. Like Bob said, the putts are falling this week. So,
well, yeah, we're essentially, football season's over. We're into like hockey.
Basketball.
I guess Champions League was today. I mean, we're in.
Got my Celtics hat on.
Tennis. Alcaraz plays tomorrow, which is great. Thank you. Golf. Yeah,
speaking of basketball, really quick, while we're recording this, the Celtics without four of their five starters are beating the Bucks.
Yeah, I
it's a tough scene for the Bucks.
That is
we're nice with it.
Bucks. But
we might lose.
I think all three of our hockey teams are currently in the playoff picture, including the Bruins, who are very good. The Rangers.
Caps are in a barn burner as we record right now.
Rangers are playing very well. So are the Caps, I believe.
We're hanging in there. We're not very good, but we're hanging in there.
Yeah, you guys have an old team. But
who?
The Caps.
Why do you think we suck?
Yeah, I just feel like it's a bunch of old men.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, Boston's done a great job intertwining guys with the younger
guys.
They
really have. But I what Boston's doing this year is – I know I said I couldn't stay, and I'll leave in a second. But what Boston's doing this year is nobody expected. Boston was, like, 13-14-1 to win the Cup before the season started, I believe. Like, no one expected them to come out this dominant. So, they're
– half-heartedly made a joke in one of our chats. Watch out for the Bruins, but I don't know enough about hockey to make claims.
I don't either, to be fair.
What the Bruins are doing this year is unheard of. They won like 95% or something of their first 40 home games.
Yeah. No, I know that they just have not lost at home in regulation.
Until the Caps beat them a couple days ago.
Caps did. That was their first home loss in regulation, correct?
Second. They're second.
That's crazy.
They are 22-2-3 at home. That's unreal.
That is ridiculous. But it's a Jordan Spieth week, which is great to see because he's going to win.
So. Week off next week as well for us and him. Before another 4-week stretch.
Yeah. Fun. Off. Yes. Dan, I think just we want to be updated on your breaking. What are we going for this year?
Well, I guess the next step would be 75.
I would say.
Doubtful, I would say. My winter prep has not gone well.
I've not touched a club in 4 months. So.
Yeah. I won't be golfing how long. Much this summer. So it's doubtful, but I broke 80 and I've got a 75 on my resume. So
yeah, I was playing the best golf of my life of the summer and I shot 69 twice. I don't think I'll ever get there again personally. So
yeah,
it was nice to do that. Cause honestly,
you're getting old.
Honestly, I don't think I'll ever do that again. So
you're getting old. I mean, you got college.
Well, because once you get into college, you have to when you're home, it's easy to get. First of all, it's easy to get children's memberships places for really cheap prices, so you can play decent golf courses. When you play in college, like you have to play like really dirt.
You don't cheap. Have your clubs unless you're bringing them, which is a hassle.
Well, I'll bring my clubs, but you have to play really dirt cheap golf courses that suck. And it's really tough to build your game when you're in like college tours.
The conditions are just conditions are tough out there. Yeah.
But
welcome back, Tiger.
I think, welcome back, Tiger. It should be a good week of Genesis, and we'll be back with tons of heated arguments.
As Jordan plays either really good or
when Spieth lays up at one.
I won't defend that. I will not defend that. All righty. Take care.
He just doesn't have the club from 191.
Peace. Take care.